Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
My subject for a while today is expectations, experiences, and the X factor of the last days. In describing mankind's modern attempts to find meaning apart from God, famed 20th century atheist and philosopher George Orwell writes, "For 200 years we had sawed and sawed and sawed at the branch we were sitting on, and in the end, much more suddenly than anyone had foreseen, our efforts were rewarded, and down we came." But unfortunately, there had been a little mistake. The thing at the bottom was not a bed of roses after all. It was a cesspool full of barbed wire. So it appears that amputation of the soul isn't just a simple surgical job, like having your appendix out. The wound has a tendency to go septic. From Mr. Orwell's perspective, modern man turned from a false hope only to find out that what awaited him was no hope at all. He admits that cutting ourselves off from God has given no reason for optimism whatever. Nothing is in sight except a welter of lies, hatred, cruelty, and ignorance. And beyond our present troubles loom vaster ones which are only now entering into the consciousness. It is quite possible that man's major problems will never be solved." End quote. Ironically, Mr. Orwell's gloomy expectation for man's fate apart from God is affirmed in Proverbs 10:28. "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." You see, one of the things I draw from this as well is that pleasing God has better expectations than pleasing ourselves. That's why we want to go the way of righteousness. We want to go down the path of pleasing the Lord, because that's a path to the promises of God, to the prosperity that comes from God. And I'm not just talking about monetary prosperity. I'm talking about spiritual breakthroughs. I'm talking about mental awareness and acuity. I'm talking about an intelligence that is beyond just the emotional kind, but a deep, rooted, intimate relationship with God. Pleasing God, which makes us righteous, also has a finish line of gladness, not gloom. So we have to be careful in the last days that we don't allow our expectations to get tainted by the world or world views or perspective of those who have become atheistic or agnostic in their approach or in their writings. A little boy was playing on the seashore in the sand, and he made a big pit in the ground. He took a scoop and scooped some water from the ocean and poured it into the pit. He kept pouring water from the ocean into the pit. An elderly man was observing this little lad from a distance. He was rather curious about the actions of the little boy, so he came up to him and he said, "Hello, little master. What are you trying to do by going back and forth from the ocean and pouring water into the pit?" The little boy said very enthusiastically, "Sir, can't you see? I am emptying the ocean." Now, we all know it's impossible to empty the ocean. Similarly, it is impossible to contain God. He is beyond all that we can think or imagine. Trying to comprehend Him is like attempting to fit the entire ocean into a pit on the beach. God can't be placed in the box of human explanation or expectation. Exodus 15:11 says, "Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders?" 2 Chronicles 6:18, "But will God really dwell on earth with men? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you, how much less this temple I have built." You see, my friend, experiences contain a portion of God, but not all of His presence, nor all of His power. We are a part. What we feel, what we enjoy, what we express, what we gleefully receive is but a few drops of the everlasting essence. I am not the body, but I am a member of the body, as described in 1 Corinthians 12. And so, my friend, your pain is just a few scoops from the ocean of divine potential. The rest is His love, grace, and durable promises. No matter how much pain you draw from life, the rest of the ocean of His presence is bigger in payoff. It's bigger in reward. It's bigger in everlasting life. Think about what the boy was doing and how easily measured the results of his efforts compared to trying to measure the rest of the untouched ocean. You can measure your pain, my friend. It could be a cup, a season, a time, a specific day of the month, a certain time of the day, a lasting painful memory. But it's all measurable, quantities of experience. But the presence of God in you is immeasurable. It has no expiration date. It has no time limits. It has no ceiling on its supernatural resource. That's the ocean beyond the pit. There's a story told of an old pioneer settler of the Old West. He was a wise and contented old man who loved his family and all of his neighbors. One day, as he sat on his porch, a wagon approached with another pioneer looking to find a homestead to settle. He asked the old man, "What kind of neighbors do you have here?" "What kind of neighbors did you have where you came from?" the old man replied. "Oh, they were unhelpful, unfriendly, and quarrelsome." "Well," said the wise old pioneer, "that's the same kind of neighbors you'll find right here." "Much obliged," said the new pioneer. "I'll just be moving along. I don't need any more of that." A few days later, another wagon approached with yet another new pioneer. "I'm looking for a place to settle," said the man. "What's it like around these parts? Are the neighbors friendly and helpful?" "Well," said the wise old fellow, "what kind of neighbors did you have where you came from?" "Oh, they were the best friends and neighbors a fellow could ask for. I was mightily grieved to have to leave them." "Well, you'll find the same kind of neighbors right here." "That's wonderful," the new pioneer shouted excitedly. "I'll go stake my claim and make myself at home." You see, my friend, expect the worst in others, and that's just what you'll get. Expect the best, and you just might find yourself a great neighbor. Because, again, Proverbs 10:28 says that the hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. Sometimes betrayal and rejection causes us to expect pain from all other relationships. It's the cycle of disappointment that we all get caught up in. Our experiences and expectations can become more shaped by pain than promise, by conflict than peace, by negative predictions as opposed to the rising sun of breakthroughs and hope. And so we have many experiences and expectations, and we have to make sure that those experiences and expectations in these last days are tempered by the Holy Ghost and controlled by our desire for the Word of God. It's why Mark 4:16-17, when Jesus is talking about the different places that the seed fell from the farmer's hand, he was speaking in this particular moment about that which was sown on stony ground, who, when they had heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, we're looking at this word endure because it has several meanings that's pertinent to the times that we're living in. It means transient, means temporary. It means just for a while or a measured time. You see, things that are transient are always on the move. It's never rooted in one place for long. Maybe they left because they thought the journey would only involve affection, not affliction. Maybe they were only interested in the promises, yet they run away quickly during persecution. They believe certain parts of the Bible that creates blessing, but feel helpless and useless when the storms of conflict arise. And it's temporary. You see, they got it fast. Notice how it said that immediately they received it. So they got it fast, but they lost it fast. Jesus refuses to be your religious quick fix. He must be our eternal fixation, the rooted faith that doesn't faint. Don't be a shooting star seen on the stage and then lost in the stress. You've got to have stickability. You've got to have durability in your faith. You see, that's the X factor of the last days. That is a major influence of making it to the very end. We've got to have endurance. Because here, this enduring but for a time is measured. That means compromise is on the clock. The eventuality of losing is in the soil. The mindset of quitting has too many remnants left after the experience of God. They stay until a particular blessing has found its expiration date. But Mark 13:13 tells us, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." You see, my friend, endurance and the end go together. Times are changing, but not the truth. Yet many are trying to redefine the truth. We have to endure the temptations to modify the message just to fit in. The love of many waxes cold while the fires of destruction burn around the world. The names of 1,000 other gods are permissible in many social and educational settings, but the name of Jesus is canceled. And we have to endure the possibilities of being eliminated from social circles because we dare pledge allegiance to the Son of God. And so, my friend, when the race started, it may have appeared to be a level track, that your race would circle around seasons of conflict, but basically stay on the same course or same grade, never rising or falling too high or low. Fans of apostolic past cheering you on, sponsors of hope endorsing you from every side. Everyone open to your testimony because of the miracles in your life. But as time has gone by, you've realized that this race is more like a cross-country race than the neatly outlined boundaries of a racetrack circling a nice grassy field. Oh, no, this one is rough. It's uncertain. It's equally dangerous and exciting. You have moments of downhill spiritual momentum where you feel the energy of the Spirit and an unstoppable grace. But then there are the uphill climbs where you feel the burn in your legs and your faith is surprisingly attacked from every angle and the obstacles are seemingly too numerous to hurdle. And you wonder if you can even make it another 100 yards, much less the many miles it may take to get to the end. And what you may have originally thought about the race has definitely changed. Your perspectives have changed as you look at what it's become. Races with rebellion as you try to outrun your faults and deficiencies. Long bouts with bitterness as you try to forgive those who've hurt you the most. Steep grades of muscle burning, love expending failures as you do your best not to quit when the hate and the rage and the vindictiveness wants to snare you. You run, you fight, you pray, you fast, you study the Word of God, and the test of your endurance pushes your spiritual stamina to the limits. When will you break and just become another Christian casualty to the wayside theologies of another Jesus? When will you stop believing and just accept the world as it is? When will you stop praying and just go back to the person you were before the gospel gave you those shoes to run a race? You know that weeping may endure for a night and that joy comes in the morning, as stated in Psalm 30:5. But with several hours still left before dawn, you wonder if you can even keep up this pace. But I say yes. Yes, Lord, yes. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Zechariah 4:6. The strength to finish is not in human understanding, but in divine strength. For I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. The hope that keeps us fueled for the next part of the journey, the next part of the race, is not just any hope, it's a blessed hope, Titus 2:13. It's the truest happiness. It's the greatest adventure of delight and everlasting contentment. It gives you that durability to make it to the end. It gives you that tenacity to keep on fighting. It gives you that bulldog grip on the grace of God, not to trade His favor for all of the human acceptance and secular approval that can be found in this temporal world. You want that which is everlasting, and so you race on. Twisted ankles, sprained feelings, aching lungs, tired muscles, sore feet, strained vision, upset dreams, discouraged confidence, empowering moments, and the race goes on. See, Paul said in Philippians 4 and 12 through 13, he said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then the infamous statement, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So the all things are not just all things successful, all things that are abounding, all things that rise to the peak of prosperity or to the summit of success. No, it's all things that include the brokenness, the failures, the crushing moments, the disappointments, the surprise attacks from the enemy, those things that fill us with discontentment and make us hungry and bring us back to the cross as we cry out to God. But we know that the durability to finish this race, we know that the ability to endure to the end is going to come from the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 4, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Now, I love what the first definition in the Greek is for this phrase endure. It really is to put up with. So think about that. What are you putting up with just to praise the Lord? What are you putting up with just to press on to the next mile marker of your faith? What are you putting up with just to promote the name of Jesus to a broken heart on your job? What are you putting up with just to practice your faith in a family that despises the truth that you live? What are you putting up with just to have prayer for the sick or to cast out devils or for someone who desperately needs God in your family? What are you putting up with to be precise with the Bible, when many in this generation want to discredit Scripture in the classroom, out of the closet, and in this country? What are you putting up with because you predicate your lifestyle, your liberties, and your loyalties on apostolic doctrine? What are you putting up with because you predetermine your daily decisions on the commandments of the Bible and commitments to the cross? What are you putting up with because you prefer Jesus over every false god, over every lie in this world, over every New Age mantra or message or demon-engineered line, sign, and wonder? What are you putting up with? Some of you are putting up with clouds of anxiety and you're enduring restless nights. Some of you are putting up with clashes of wills as you fight through temptations that won't seem to stay gone. Some of you are putting up with clues of confusion that occasionally get you off track, looking for things that are a simple waste of time, and you have to exhaustively trudge your way back to the straight and narrow. One of the things I want to be able to encourage you with today is for you to understand that you're not in this battle by yourself and you're not in this race alone. 1 Corinthians 12 and 12 says, for as the body is one, that's a call to unity, and hath many members, that's an understanding of diversity, and all the members of that one body, there's a singularity, see here, of purpose. Being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's a unifying gospel. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. We have one gospel. We have a unifying message through the Messiah. We have one rock to drink from. And verse 14 said, for the body is not one member, but many. This is why we are fitly framed together, because we need one another in encouragement. We need one another in the conviction of the word. We need one another comforting each other about the coming of the Lord. That is our blessed hope, that we keep looking for that more than we look for anything else in this world. Verse 15 said, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. There's a righteousness, you see, in being in the body. That being a part of something that is greater than our individual needs, but becomes a part of a collective consciousness. It becomes a part of something that is many members into it, and those that have come through certain things in their life, and they have their experiences, and they have their education, and they fitly frame all that together with what you and I have. We bring our fragments together and our pieces of the puzzle together, and we put all this together to be pleasing to the Lord. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So my friend, the race that you're on, the battle that you're fighting, the things that you're enduring to try to make it to the finish line of heaven and everlasting life, we do it together. We do it when we come together as a congregation of the righteous to rejoice together in worship, to hear the preaching of the word, to practice apostolic doctrine together, to help one another up, to help one another overcome attacks or overcome the spirits of apostasy, or maybe overcome influences of those who've left the body, who've disconnected themselves and detached themselves and have become bitter poisons to the body. And so we encourage one another to keep going forward, to keep a Calvary perspective and keep the cross upon our shoulders as we drag it through the down the dusty paths of this world, because we're headed to something that's far better. But we have to realize that he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. That we've got to keep our spiritual stamina strong with prayer and fasting and the study of the Word of God. We keep our spiritual stamina strong by keeping unity in the body of Christ, by staying fitly framed together. We keep our durability of faith strong by not only just coming through the tests and the trials, but what we glean and gain from it to help others and pass along our knowledge and our experiences that will help somebody on their journey through pain or through their valleys of death or through the shadows of destruction. They feel like it's hopeless and they can't make their way out. And I certainly pray today for somebody that's listening to this. I pray that you'll have an Acts 2:38 experience. I pray that you'll have a river of the Holy Ghost experience, because Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is not just something that is religiously accepted like an automaton. You're going to feel this. It's going to be empowering. It's truly a spiritual experience. So that when you get this kind of experience in God, your expectations become that which is on heaven and in the holiness of God and by pleasing the Lord. And the disappointments of this world are not as magnified. And so you keep going on and you keep praying and seeking the Lord. And I pray today that someone would discover that if you ask, it shall be given. And if you seek it, you're going to find it. And if you knock, it shall be open to you. That Jesus really is a prayer answering God. And he does care for you today. And he wants to give you durable faith. He wants to give you that which will help you make it all the way to the end, get to the finish line, and finish strong, because you're going to keep your consistency, you're going to keep your confidence in the old rugged cross, in the name of Jesus. It's revival time. It's been
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath. In a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.